T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's New England's preeminent source on everything Patriots.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
I have been told the same thing Curran has been told.
The one and only Tom E.
Curran.
Tom E. Curran.
Tom Curran joining us.
I bend over to Tommy Curran.
Tom Curran joining us from NBC Sports Boston.
It's time for Tuesday with Tom.
I'm surprised about Tom E. Curran.
E.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Curran. On Dale and Keith.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Keep on laughing.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline from NBC Sports Boston is our buddy Tom E. Curran. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Dale, how are you? What's up, Richard?
All right, thanks.
Not much.
I was impressed with the piece you wrote yesterday. The headline is, "I'm done looking for excuses to stay silent." Much of what you said echoes things that I felt in the past. Do I have a right to say anything? Do I have a voice to say anything? And as you said, you're done looking for reasons to not say anything.
Yeah, because what you said, Dale, you know, it's not my lane, stay in my lane. We're supposed to shut up and listen. Those stances, additionally stances where I would take things a little too literally, or mitigate or try to thread the needle on what I perceive the situation to be. But when Brian Flores released a statement at the end of last week and said, you know, I've heard an awful lot of conversation about what Colin Kaepernick did right and wrong, or how incentivizing minority hiring is problematic for people. There's no shortage of people in the media who are happy to voice those opinions and give their insight and expertise. Yet these same people who will quietly watch the George Floyd murder and express horror, dismay, being troubled in their souls, they're not really saying anything. These people with media platforms, myself obviously included. So that to me was, while we are and have been instructed really since the Mike Brown and Ferguson situation to just stop talking, I took that from Brian Flores as saying, you know, you should say something. You know what? If you have a platform and you feel emboldened to speak about how things should be approached and why things aren't working and everything else, maybe you should be emboldened to go on the record and say that the black experience in America, I now acknowledge, is far different than the white experience. And that's where we are, I think, Dale, is trying to thread that needle where we've grown up with different friends, different family, different communities. I grew up in Pembroke. You grew up in Maine. Rich, I think you were in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Probably 3 black kids in my elementary school. And Silver Lake Regional in the mid-'80s was not what I would call diverse, nor was St. Anselm College.
The fact that I know the names of the black kids that I went to school with gives you an idea of how few there are.
Right.
So I think I oftentimes would mitigate it. And if I had not seen the video, this is it, and I'll stop for a second and hear what you guys have to say, but had I not seen the video of George Floyd and someone said, you know, there's a cop in Minneapolis who knelt on the neck of a black man on the sidewalk for 9 minutes while people told him to get off and that he was killing him, and he never did, and he was defiant about it, I'd say, look, no, come on, there's got to be more to that story. That's the way I was hardwired and have been. I got to cut the crap with that.
Yeah, and I think one of my takeaways from the last couple of weeks has been, I've always sort of thought about it for myself. I'm like, Well, I personally feel like I treat everybody the same, and I think my friends are the same way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be my friends. And, like, I just, hey, I'm not bothering anybody, so I'm just going to, you know, do my own thing, kind of skate my lane, like you said, Tom. But I think there's more than that, right? I think the you have to acknowledge it and have the conversations and at times listen, but also at times speak out. And it's tough to do, and you're not going to please everybody, right? Like, I think right now we're hearing from some athletes are being quiet. People don't really know what is right. I'm curious, after you posted this article yesterday, what has been the reaction to it?
Mainly a lot of support from people who feel the same way and have experienced the same feelings, sensations of, I really shouldn't say anything here, or I don't want to feel as if I'm betraying folks in law enforcement. I think what I've always done, look, we have law enforcement. I believe this, and I read a lot on this, and I do look at the statistics, and I probably spent too much time with it. The Washington Post since 2015 has charted police-involved killings across America. And they have it charted by race, age, every possible way you can imagine. And I've spent time on that, trying to look at New England, because I truly believe that we are different than Mesa, Arizona, and Phoenix, and Oklahoma, and Stillwater, and Minneapolis, and, you know, Riverside, California, or any other place where we see these things happen, because we have extremely well-educated law enforcement officials, by and large, who are civilized, who go through a lot to get their degrees. And when I look at this stuff, I would say that's not how it is in New England. We have smart cops who understand how to de-escalate, and they don't use lethal force like Philando Castile in Minnesota when the guy just flat panicked and shot an individual in a car, or guys mistaking hair dryers for guns and shooting people in their backyards. It doesn't happen here, and the numbers bear that out. But me seizing on those numbers and saying, yeah, but it's not happening that way here, or me seizing on Colin Kaepernick's pig socks, or the fact that, well, the streets aren't literally running with the blood of black men. Well, okay. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't acknowledge the black experience is so far different. My three boys, Dale, same thing for you, Rich, when your children are older and you yourself, your parents never had to worry about you getting jammed and thrown up against the hood of a car for no reason. I worry about my kids getting in fights. I worry about them being in a car with somebody who's inebriated, them perhaps getting too inebriated. I've never once worried about them being attacked by law enforcement. And that's what every black person, especially males, have to deal with.
I loved your turn of the phrase, not wanting to ride with the woke for Twitter love posse. And I'm speaking for myself here, not for you guys. And I will admit that part of my hesitation about talking about some of this stuff or referring to it is, let's be honest, social media is a cesspool. It doesn't matter what you say. If you write cancer is bad, there will be people who say, what the hell are you talking about? So you know that no matter what you put, there's going to be a portion of the population who just want to pounce on you, no matter what it is. And I admit I have been hesitant at times in the past because of those people.
And I'm sometimes hesitant because things are so blindingly obvious that they don't need to be said. Cancer sucks. Well,
right.
Okay.
Racism bad.
I don't know how that advances the conversation.
Yeah.
But that makes me, for better or worse, I probably should be able to block that out and not care about it, roll my eyes. I don't want to align myself, nor do you or anybody listening out there, with what's going on with people perverting the protests and looting and rioting and destroying stores and businesses and putting law enforcement officials at risk, dire risk. But what I, in writing the column yesterday, I said, look, I've got to have to look past the burning cop car and understand that's not what this is about. That's about anarchy. What I'm talking about in trying to acknowledge is what my friends, the McCourties, had to deal with growing up in New Jersey or Nyack, New York, or what friends of my sons have to deal with. Don't worry about the front windows at Macy's and the people who are doing that and saying that it undercuts the movement. Because while it can and does to a degree, we should be able to acknowledge far and away from that, when all the glass is cleaned up, that the situation still exists where a black person, this is good, and I'm talking a little bit too long, but there was someone tweeted at me, would you feel comfortable letting your kids walk down the street in Harlem alone at night? And first of all, yes.
Okay.
Because I just think that people overstate how quote-unquote dangerous cities are in 2020.
Yeah.
Places to stay out of, but you can walk down any street in Mattapan, Roxbury, Dorchester, Blue Hell Avenue. You're going to make it out the other side, generally. Just stay out of some different spots. But the bigger point to me was, I sure know that my kids can walk through a hell of a lot more neighborhoods at night by themselves in the United States and not have themselves get thrown up against the hood of a car than a black individual of the same age. Somebody would call the cops. If I had a black dude walking around on my street, there's a good chance I go, what's he doing out there? That's just the way we're wired.
Yeah.
It's just, and that's because it is a minority race. So there is sometimes, I don't often see a black person here. Is that racist? Is that racial? That's stuff we wrestle with, I think, as white Americans who are in the majority. Is that wrong? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, it's very layered. I think every part of this discussion is. Now, we've also seen teams in all of the major sports release certain statements. The Celtics were quick to do it. The Bruins and the Red Sox each had one today. Still nothing from the Patriots. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I honestly don't. And maybe I should endeavor to find out. Sometimes I think statements released, and once people start asking for statements, certainly lose their clout because they're reactionary and done at the point of a bayonet. I think Robert Kraft is pretty much on record with the work he's done in the communities, you know, with Meek Mill, with social justice and criminal justice reform, and the Patriots in general, as to what they're all about. I think Bill Belichick, you know, over the course of time has proven what he was about. Certainly Jim Brown could speak to that, but there is also an allegiance that is felt by Robert Kraft to Donald Trump as a friend that was established after Myra Kraft died in 2011. And that, I think, that Robert Kraft will always kind of honor, because he wasn't just a, hey, hope you're doing okay guy, Trump to Kraft. It was consistent all the way throughout, maintaining that conversation. Belichick, obviously, in the statement and the letter that he gave to Trump that was read the night before the election, pretty easy to read how supportive he was in 2016 of Donald Trump. I don't know if that's changed. I don't know if that makes him hesitant to speak out, but I can't imagine that there's anyone who looks at what happened with George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or anyone who wouldn't say it. So I don't look at it as a huge missing thing where you got to say something. Do you guys? I mean,
well, no, I mean, on the one hand, I think I agree with you, and it's a weird spot, because do you make a comment which seems kind of obvious? Or do you, but then again, if all the teams around the league are and you're not, like, what does that say? It just seems kind of, I think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And that's
we had this discussion earlier, and I'm just curious, Tom, to get your thoughts on it. In the perfect 2020 hindsight, 2020 vision of hindsight, does Colin Kaepernick look different now?
I think that yeah, he does. The reason is because of the pig socks and because of the mitigating factors where we were looking at it and saying, yeah, it's not as bad as he's saying. And certainly there was a lot of gray in the situation in Ferguson, a lot of gray. And I think people like myself might have seized on that and looked at the Mike Brown situation and the fallout from that and said, yeah, well, there's a lot that went on that might not totally be accurate. So I got caught up in the details rather than the and the messaging from him rather than the overall point. So the idea that Colin Kaepernick would be a distraction, I think it's a distraction that's okay to have. I wonder right now, you guys, I'll ask you this. If you were in a press box right now and the anthem was played and just folks encouraged you to take a knee, would you do it? Now, I think it struck me in 2016, 17, when the black players were kneeling, that nobody went over and even put a hand on their shoulders as white players. Chris Long was the only one who really demonstrated it. I think it would be different today.
I hope so. I mean, I remember, you know, going back to that one weekend where a number of the Patriots took a knee, which only happened the one weekend, and it was in the immediate aftermath of Trump calling them all, you know, sons of bitches and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying then, I'm like, I'd do it. I stand every single time for the anthem, and I would every time, always have. But I was like, that day, after that, like, he's basically begging you to do it. So I would have then, and then the next week would have been like you know, the McCourties and a number of the guys would have been back up on my feet after that. Do you think we could see it? Because, again, last year they made the rule, if you're going to do it in the locker room. We're happy that you do it. Just we don't ever want to see it. Whereas This year, do you think that might change? Do you think guys might say, you know, especially we might be seeing some games with no stands or something like, I mean, it's going to be maybe a unique start to the year. Do you think some of those guys taking a knee happens out in front of everybody this year?
I think it will. I think it will. And I think if the NFL tries to figure out a way to make it so that it is impossible to do, yeah, no fans, no anthem, let's just get out there. They will be exposed as tremendous hypocrites. And I've always felt about the knee, and I've had conversations with people who I love, admire, respect, and where I think that taking a knee is representative of a moment of reflection for something that's troubling you. It's not disrespectful. You know, doing what LeSean McCoy did and staying on all fours and continuing to warm up your groin while the anthem was playing is disrespectful. Or sitting there like Michael Bennett would do is disrespectful and incendiary. But taking a knee, that's honoring and hoping. So I've been, but again, I'm splitting damn hairs.
And truthfully, yeah. his message got hijacked as well. And he didn't do a very good job, you know, delineating what his message was. And people wanted to turn it into he hates the troops, he hates our country, he hates the mm-hmm. flag. When he made it clear from the beginning, he was talking about change and police abuse of particularly minority victims. And I do think his message got hijacked for political reasons, and then he was not in control of it anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that's what I'm going to speak to Ben Watson later today. I don't know if you guys did or the station did already, but that is forever his lament, is that it was hijacked. And just how jarring. He said he was in Europe and they were about to play. I think it was the Saints when that sons of bitches comment was made. And he felt gut punched, just more than gut punched. And I think that, you know, it's impossible to come back from that if you're Donald Trump, no matter how great the economy is, you know, to have said that. And we forget about it. I forget about it. It's not in the forefront of my mind, but for anybody who sees Donald Trump appear on TV and has an opinion, good, bad, theirs is virtually always going to be, he called us sons of bitches.
Right.
Crazy.
For the peaceful protest was no good. Now there's some violent protests. Well, those are awful. You can't have those. You should have been peaceful protesting. It's like, well, you were, and you hated that, so you can't win with some people. I do have a football-related question, though, for you, because Mike Tannenbaum was on with OMF last Friday, and he said something that I was kind of shocked by and certainly don't agree with, but I'm going to play the cut for you. I'm curious what you think of this assessment.
I think you can make a case that the New England Patriot running back room arguably is the best position room of any team in the league.
Really yeah. I think that just
does he started. Mean there are a bunch of really nice guys, do you think, Tom?
I mean, maybe some great guys. I'm sure they are. We talked to James White during the year, great guy.
The decor in the room itself.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah. Good chairs.
Room.
Yeah. Okay.
Feng Shui. I mean, I would think that we can go anywhere you want. I would say that the New Orleans Saints quarterback room would have an argument.
Yep.
If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm just starting there, would have an argument in terms of their receiver core. So, look, Rex Burkhead is a diverse utility back who can do a number of things. That's why he's on the field. James White is a good third down back. He's 70% as good as Kevin Falk was, but he's still a really good player, useful player, who's probably starting to slow down a little bit. And so Michelle may or may not be good, and Damian Harris, I just don't know how you can make that assertion based on what you've seen.
I guess it's their best offensive group right now, right? And I mean, I would say their secondary is better, but on offense, is it the best offensive group they have? Might be.
I don't know. Is the offensive line better?
I like the left-hand side of the offensive line, and if Mason and Cannon return to form, I like the offensive line.
Yeah, if Andrews comes back, then yeah, maybe the offense. So it's not even the best offensive room on the team, let alone in the league. That was such a leap.
I don't know. I mean, they're really diverse in terms of skills, which is what the Patriots want and desire, but I don't know. Yeah. They were probably better when they had James White and LeGarrette Blount back there than they are now.
We know that the governor of Massachusetts has cleared the pro sports teams in the Commonwealth to begin practicing in their facilities. I know the Celtics in small groups have already begun that. The Bruins may be within the next week or so. When will the Patriots players, not the injured ones who've been there all along for rehab, when will they start being allowed back into the building?
I would have to look more closely at what Goodell has so far put out as the different phases of reopening. Coaches are the next step to take place. And if I'm not mistaken, Dale, I think there was a July 1st hope or end of July hope that existed for the beginning of perhaps training camps with no off-season work prior, in-person off-season work. So, I, I'm sorry that I don't have it on the tip of my tongue, but I think the hope was you can start training camps at the end of July, but there's not going to be really any slow roll-up where you do compressed passing camps or anything like that. But please don't take that to the bank. I would have to Google that, make sure that I'm right on that. But I think that was the last I saw.
Tom, I was impressed by your piece yesterday. And as I said, it kind of made me look at my own life and my own way of approaching things. And I appreciated you taking the time to write it.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate you reading it, and I appreciate everybody wrestling with it on their own terms anyway and how they want to respond. So I'm no expert. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.